Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's been such a pleasure for me in these last few days to get to know so many of you. You're a peculiar people. Has anybody ever told you that? You're not normal. If you come to Mission Central very much, you'll be told that you're not normal. That's actually very biblical. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It's because you're a chosen people. Because Jesus lives in your heart. And he wants to work on your heart today through these texts as you've journeyed all the way through the books of the Bible, through the story, and today is the focus on the book of Revelation. And you're thinking, why am I seeing a barn in the front of this church? That really is our campus. Farmstead in the hills of western Iowa, and yes, those really are the almost 100 volunteers that are like you. They love the Lord Jesus. They're taking his mission personally. 1718 typists who, as we dictate thank you letters to those of you who are adopting missionaries, they're writing, letting you know if a missionary's changed countries or have special prayer requests. You get volunteer webmaster and volunteers that help send out our one annual mailing is all we would do throughout the course of a year to let you know which missionaries need support and where they're serving around the world. Over 5,000 people have been coming to our campus at Mission Central. You may never get there out to Omaha, Nebraska, in the Midwest, and that's okay. You're not going to find dairy cows inside the barn, okay? If you come to Mission Central, no dairy cows. That was one of the first prayers that I prayed. Lord Jesus, thank you that Dad is not a dairy farmer. I rode a little bus to a country school, and my friend Galen and Carl Meske, that's what they were doing from about 4:30 in the morning, milking cows before school. Thank you, God, that Dad is not a dairy farmer. In that barn are artifacts from your missionaries of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that have been serving all over the world, and they're bringing them back to remind you how important it is to keep sending missionaries. We got black magic masks, swords and spears and things that are still used in Papua New Guinea and tribal warfare. That's the number one prayer of the missionaries there, a whole team in Papua New Guinea praying for peaceful events this summer. Anton Lutz, who grew up there, his dad was a missionary doctor there, and he had his passport taken, and he was stuck in the country for the last 4 years. He just got it back. Do you think maybe that he's saying a prayer of praise right now? Yeah. About 100 missionaries come, and we think this year about 10,000 people. They have a creation theater, not the creation museum that's out in Ohio, creation theater, and tell them the story of the 6 days of creation and letting kids from public schools and other places, all these visitors pushing, 10,000 this year, that God has created them. And he's created you too. And he sent Jesus Christ for you, and he's given you a great commission to be about his work. You can go on the website, missioncentral.us, type in any country, any missionary's name, and it'll pop up to let you know if there's missionaries serving there telling others about Jesus. I never would have thought that coming off a little farm in western Nebraska that God could use me. Maybe some of you are still saying that. Oh, God, you can't use me. Oh, yes, he can. So the Lord raised me up there and pulled me out of Grant Thornton in public accounting and doing tax and audit, and I still love to, crunch some numbers once in a while, and sent me as a business manager, as a layman, out to Central Asia, to the country of Kazakhstan. How many of you ever tried horse meat? Oh, we got a hand back here. Did you like it? It was tasty. You know it's horse meat, don't you? I was actually very thankful because of all the different meats, and sometimes in Central and Asia and other parts of Asia, you don't quite know what the meat is. And, of course, my daughter doesn't have to worry about it. She's vegetarian. So she's like, well, Dad, if you were just vegetarian. But I loved it that it was horse meat because I at least knew what meat I was eating. We spent 8 years in the Russian-speaking world telling people about Jesus, 16 total. And dear saints, if there's one thing in the Russian world and Eurasia world we need to be reminded of, and that's the history of Russia. You know, they had Christianity through Russian Orthodoxy for 1,000 years. We've had it for hundreds of years here in the United States of America, the freedom to do this, to worship the Lord Jesus every day, not just in here behind church walls, but in the workplace, prayer gatherings, stadiums, youth gatherings, everywhere, freedom. And then in Russia, 1917, a godless government came to power. Communists, atheists, and they took leaders and pastors and threw them into gulags and others who refused to bow the knee to the Communist Party. And you know what they did to the largest church in St. Petersburg, Russia? Turned it into a swimming pool. And that's what Satan can do. And don't think for a moment that he couldn't do it here in the United States of America. And so I think as the book of Revelation repeats itself over and over, it's telling us to wake up. We don't have to wonder what the message of Revelation is about. It's in the first sentence of the chapter 1, verse 1. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the God-man and the one person of Christ that came to this earth and paid for your sins and mine. He did something none of us could do to earn salvation for all creation. And here in this last book of the Bible, he chooses to send an angel, to send a messenger into his servant John. He has a message for you too. What is that message? It's clear also in that introduction of Revelation, two things: a testimony of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And dear saints, that's mission, pointing people to the living and active Word of God, which is all written to focus on one thing: Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. You notice the urgency in that third verse. And this is repeated over and over. Those of you who have read through the sections of the story, you know this. It's repeated over and over. The Lord saying, behold, I am coming soon. There's an urgency to the mission of God. An urgency to be telling of what he has done. In these last days, it's amazing. The teams have just multiplied. The number of missionaries through the Lutheran Church has almost doubled. And some of you maybe have never in your lifetime been asked to adopt a missionary. I'm asking you today. If the Spirit prompts you, it's between you and the Lord. If the Spirit prompts you. I've seen families and little kids and just centering around their dining room table praying for missionaries. Spread all over Africa, places that are no vacation spots. You think about the missionary team and their children that are over in Asia, where over half of the population of the world is. You're just a short flight from Shanghai, mainland Hong Kong, mainland China. Look at the missionary team that's there and the international schools and working in the mainland, doing well projects and serving events. And it's amazing what God is doing in these last days and even in Latin America. How are you called to take the mission of the Lord personally? Wonderful host family. Thank you, by the way. At Mission Central, we don't stay in hotels. Number one goal is to keep the administration low so that the mission dollars get to the field first, get to the missionaries first. And so I was talking with Dan and Lynn, and just wonderful listening to them how part of their calling has been to go on short-term teams, to come alongside these teams of missionaries and do powerful things, reaching thousands of people with the gospel. I pray the Holy Spirit keeps working on you. The text says, I'm coming soon, and is calling you also to persevere and to hold fast, because in these last days, The temptation to fall away is so strong. The temptation to make it complicated. The temptation to compromise for this world instead of the world to come. Jesus is saying, hold fast, hang on to me. Serve in my mission. You know, I love these young couples who are being raised up. Anthony and Jamie, probably not much older than this group right here in the front row over here. You know, not much older than you when they were first sent to the country of Peru. They didn't know each other. They met on the mission field. And boy, did they ever tell people about Jesus. Now, when I think of the country of Peru, I thought of this tiny, tiny little country in Latin America. That's not true. When you overlay the territory of Peru over the United States, it stretches from North Dakota clear to the Gulf of Mexico. It's a significantly sized country. And when I first thought of Peru, I thought, are there any people really in Peru? Isn't it just kind of mountains and rural area and goats and sort of ancient civilization? Not true. Lima, Peru is the second largest city in the world that's built in a desert. Over 10 million people, 43 districts, all kinds of opportunity. And the prayer of Anthony and Jamie was that somehow with the rest of the missionary team, they could get one church planted. Oh, the Lord had bigger plans than that. It's about 5 congregations now, 5th in the making, in Lima, Peru. Anthony had been serving in Castillo Fuerte. It's a wonderful after-school program. You got to get to the children, and when you're talking to the children about Jesus, you're also getting to mom and dad and grandpa and grandma and hundreds of children. And La Victoria was the first location, and I'll just show you the 5 other locations here quickly of storefronts and house church and the ministry there in this huge city. And recently they got another missionary communication specialist, and now you can understand why. Do you think all 10 million people in Lima, Peru would fit into these small congregations? No. Well, the Word of God is there, but it's not meant to be just behind the church walls. It's meant to radiate out beyond the church walls to everyone, everywhere, every day, all 10 million people. We had talked about this calling and how Anthony and Jamie so successfully and faithfully served the Lord in Peru and watched him cause growth, but that was not their last call. He was moved then to go on to the seminary, and he studied theology. He's just ordained as a new church planting evangelistic pastor, and they're not doing what Noah did. You remember that story of Noah in the Old Testament? What did Noah build? The ark. In fact, you can go see a replica, right, in Kentucky. It's like he had that first calling, and he was so faithful in completing it. Those first steps, he built the ark, and he even landed on Mount Ararat. But then what happened? It's like he had a lazy retirement mentality or something. He planted a vineyard, which isn't all that bad. Then he got drunk. If you read that story of Noah, it's not a pretty ending. Jesus in Revelation today is saying, I'm coming soon. Hold fast, saints. Be faithful in his mission for your life and for the lives of others. Jamie and Anthony had no idea that he was preparing them in their service in Peru to go to the place where he was to call them. And yeah, Anthony and Jamie, probably like me, they want to just jump right to the last chapter of Revelation. Maybe you want to do that too. And there's so little time today, so many great texts. But let's look at that last chapter just for a second. He's talking about, I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. And this is a section describing the new heavens and the new earth and what is there being prepared for you. And it's awesome. It's beyond anything this world could offer you. And so Jesus says, I'm coming soon. And the church says, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. It's okay to want Jesus to come today, to have all this sin and suffering and sickness behind us, and to be there. But he, for now, says, behold, I'm coming to soon. And the church says, amen, come, Lord Jesus. But meanwhile, you have a commission to be in his mission. They're going to the country of Puerto Rico. You know what happened to Puerto Rico last year. Not one hurricane, but two hurricanes. It's complete disaster. And since then, there's been all kinds of work, but you see the destruction that took place there in what's often a vacation place for so many people in the Caribbean. I mean, even now, a third of the drinking water is not really good to drink. Thousands of roofs of homes that aren't functioning still. Over $400,000, and lots of short-term teams through the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has already been provided in a rapid response to the people in Puerto Rico. But it shouldn't stop there. There's some saints, Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Mayagüez, Puerto Rico. It's on the west coast. And a mission outpost down in Ponce, it's the southern part of the island, is another mission outpost. And that's where this family, Anthony and Jamie, are praying that God can send them as soon as possible to continue to provide a rapid response to the massive needs across the whole island. Now, I'm sometimes a doubting Thomas, and I think, Lord, it'd be great if they were there by late July, early August, but that would almost be the fastest funded missionaries in the history of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. But are God's arms too short? No. We want the people in Puerto Rico to be there, right? Is everybody in Federal Way, Washington, a Christian? Oh, not yet, right? But you want him to be there? I had a grandpa, lost his little brother at age 12. Satan used that to harden his heart, seeing his little brother get sick and die. He was an old farmer. He had flying in his blood and farming and flying and farming and flying and farming and flying and farming. And what's missing? Faith. God's arms are not too short. Age 79. He was baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That old farmer had farming and flying and faith. I'm so glad, because you want them there, right? Grandmas and grandpas and children and your grandchildren, some of which today in the United States oftentimes are not being brought into a presence into the Word of God. We want them in this picture. God sends this picture. Jesus sends this for you to see that people from all tribes and nations and languages are being there. They're going to be there because of the fruit of you being faithful to share his word today in his mission. You plant the seed, he causes the growth. And you see what they're singing. Salvation and glory and honor belongs to our God and to the Lamb who sits on the throne. There's so much work to do. There's passages, and you pick this up in your study of the story as well, in the book of Revelation, passages that people don't want to hear today. They don't want to hear it. They want to think the blessing's for me. I'm saved, Lord. I. People don't want to hear passages like this one. Talks about that if anyone's name on that last day, the judgment day, see, saints, there's still time. The Lord is coming soon, but there's still time to tell people about Jesus, because yes, on that last day, if people's name is not written in the book of life because of their sin, because of their unbelief and rejection of the holy God, they'll be thrown into a lake of fire. We don't want them there. We want them together with you and me, with Jesus. As this family is sent to Puerto Rico and those leaders are raised up, they'll be sent just to a neighboring island, the first new Lutheran seminary in 55 years. Just opened last year. They already have students from six, seven countries, and they're being trained all in Spanish language to serve, doing a great job of like an Antioch center for training and multiplying of the Lord's mission. And it's not just men. 100 women are receiving theological education to go back and serve as deaconesses and directors of Christian education and directors of music wherever God sends them. If you do go on a cruise to the Caribbean, stop by and say hi to these missionaries. Try to avoid the hurricanes, okay? But tell the people about Jesus. What a wonderful family this is. At Mission Central, the volunteers put together very simple biographies and print these off for you to pray for the people. Some of you may say, Pastor, I know they need some financial support. And yes, they do. We talked about that in Bible class, that all the missionaries that I showed you a picture of have to raise 100% of their support. God's touching people like you to do that. But if you say, Pastor, I don't have a spare dime, that's okay. Do you have spare time? Prayer of a righteous person accomplishes much. They need your prayers for protection, for boldness in the midst of persecution. They need you to walk together with them in the Lord's mission until Christ comes again. Dear saints, it's been a joy to be here at these services with you. I know your pastor so well, to help them out this weekend. And I pray that even if you don't get out to Mission Central, that together we can work together in faithful service in the Lord's mission. Because as Jesus says, behold, I am coming soon. And the people said, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. That's our prayer. And our prayer is also, until then, we take it personally. Be everyday missionaries. In Jesus' name, amen. Please.